Listen, if you dare, to the Lovecraft Tapes.
Welcome to the Lovecraft Tapes podcast. I am Jeremy, your keeper of arcane lore, and this is Case 17, Seance 9. Your investigators of the unknown are Brian as Ben.
All of your magic has belonged to me.
Lupine as Rosa.
Yep.
And Matt as Diego.
Hey, how's it going?
Is that you or the puppet talking?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Last session, our investigators started putting the puzzle pieces together by visiting Owen Butler, the cinematographer of Seance 9 at Love Connection, who pointed them to the director, Sidney Schlesinger. While Diego and Rosa teamed up to interview Sid at Serenity Sunset's retirement community, Ben locked himself away in his dorm room to further study the magic trick book that mysteriously appeared at his door. Currently, it is 5 p.m. on Wednesday, April 19th. Rosa and Diego are deliberating whether or not they have time to visit storage and talk their way into unit number 5 before their shift begins at Odeon Studios in 1 hour. Rush hour is just beginning and the theater is about an hour away, so it would take a miracle or a great roll of dice to avoid being late and potentially jeopardizing their jobs and their school credits. So you guys are both standing outside the Sunset Retirement Community. You have a decision to make.
I mean, it's going to be really tight time-wise. We're not doing too well in the time management department, huh?
Diego, we've got to get back because I want to graduate. We can check it out tomorrow.
It's not like the storage place is going to, go up in flames or anything overnight, huh?
Right. That would be silly.
No, that's not going to happen.
That would be totally ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous. I guess remember the place and the storage unit. Was it number 5, I think you said?
Yep. Storage.
We'll have to come back when we have a little more time to wander around. Maybe see if we can't figure out how to get ourselves into the storage unit. Maybe there's still something there.
I'll use my awesome lockpicking skills. Did I tell you? Pick up some lockpicking skills?
Really?
Yeah.
It's an interesting choice of skills there.
You know, I'm hanging out with some new people and I'm really getting kind of cool. Rosa gets really self-conscious at that moment and just jumps on the bike.
All right. I'll do my best to get us back there. Although it is rush hour, so gonna be cutting it close.
Well, you can, drive between cars and stuff, right?
And the sidewalks are always an option.
That's the safest way to drive, really.
All right, off we go.
Immediately hit by a truck.
It's not like our bike is going to burst into flames or anything. That would be silly.
Oh, God, no, that'd be silly. Things just don't randomly burst into flames. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
They're impervious to flames.
Especially gasoline-powered vehicles.
We're in the 70s. Everything's made of asbestos.
My mini bike? Asbestos.
Diego, you're going to need to make a drive auto roll, but all you have to do is not fumble.
Do I get a bonus for having my mini bike made of asbestos?
It's so itchy.
I needed a 20. I rolled a 43, which is a failure, but not a fumble. So, you know.
You do manage to divert and take side streets and sometimes sidewalks in order to avoid gridlock at certain intersections.
Oh shit, look out, Diego, there's an alligator!
Who put an alligator in the middle of the sidewalk again?
In LA, what?
They successfully jump the alligator and they look to their right and there's Fonzie giving the double thumbs up.
The alligator's made of asbestos.
And then he bursts into flames.
Yes.
So you guys make it with just a couple minutes to spare, and waiting outside is Ben. He looks very unkempt. He has his shirt half tucked in, the other half is untucked. You notice that he's wearing mismatched socks, and his hair is sticking straight up as if he has bedhead. And he has this wild glazed look in his eyes, barely registering that you guys pull up to the curb.
Hop off the mini bike and drop the kickstand down. Hey, Ben, you there, buddy? Start waving my hand in front of his face. Hey, Earth to Ben.
Hey, Ben, you okay? You look unkempt.
Gonna give him a light slap across the cheek.
Why are you hitting me?
Answer me, man. What's wrong with you?
I'm fine. Leave me alone.
Here, why don't you take a shot at him, Rosa? I don't think anything I'm doing is working.
You guys ready to get to work?
Yeah, where's Harcourt?
I turn on my heel and just walk in.
okay?
Diego and Rosa exchange glances. Ben looks a little stoned out of his gourd.
Has he been hitting the devil's lettuce?
I didn't know him to be one for the wacky tabacky, but who am I to judge? Gotta watch out for that reef of madness.
Gotta watch out for those wicked greens.
Yeah, he might turn on us, you know.
Marijuana.
I'll have one marijuanas, please.
At this stage, Brian and I need to do a little housekeeping with Ben. Ben, you have been spending 16 hours reading this handwritten book of quote-unquote magic tricks. When you finished the book, you didn't really feel a whole lot different. You didn't feel as if the text taught you anything. It went in and then went straight out. But in your mind, there are these symbols that keep flashing, and you don't recognize the shapes as any letter of the alphabet, just these weird symbols that you can't make sense of, and they flash in your mind and then dissipate into the darkness of your memory. But they're almost like a bad tooth. You keep working at them, trying to figure out a way into these strange pictographic images. The more you work at them, the closer you're going to get to understanding what they mean. Now that you're at work, you don't even remember where you left that book. You kind of remember reading it, but you're not quite sure what you did with it when you were done with it.
I keep catching myself in a daydream. When I was getting ready for work, I was just standing in front of the closet. When I snapped out of it, my eyes focused. I was dressed and realized I had less than 20 minutes to get to work. And I hadn't eaten, so I guess we'll see what we have at work today.
I'm going to need you to make some changes to your character sheet. Charm is going to go up 1 point to 21 points. Fast talk is going to go up 1 point to 6. Your occult is going to go up 1 point to 6. Persuade goes up 1 point.
So 32.
Psychology goes up 1 point to 11. Sleight of hand goes up 1 point to 61. Hypnosis goes up 1 point to 4. However, your sanity is reduced to 38. And then on the far right, that little number goes down 1 to 39. That is the maximum you can ever achieve. Now, I'm going to need you to roll D100, please.
All 100 Ds.
51.
Take 51 points of damage.
Shut up. Don't give him ideas.
Ben, you are now suffering from the effects of a mania. Lupine and Matt, please take off your headphones until I give you a thumbs up, please. Ready, Ben? You have a compulsion with nudity. Do with that what you will.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Here they come. Here they come back.
There we go.
Ben, you walked into Odeon Studios and saw something at the reception desk that made you stop in your tracks cold as Diego and Rosa come up behind you.
I don't think he's okay.
I kind of don't either.
What do we do? Should I hit him again? Maybe hit him harder?
I don't think that'll help.
I mean, my dad always liked to knock some sense into me.
I don't know. I think maybe he just needs a day off from this weird stuff.
Oh, trust me. If I never saw any more weird shit, it would be too soon.
But you guys see him standing stock still.
Walk up and flick him in the back of the head.
I'm going to walk up and put a hand on his shoulder.
The both of you walk up towards him. Rosa with her hand ready to touch his shoulder. Diego with his fingers getting ready to flick. And all of you see, sitting at the reception desk, is Eugene Eubanks. But his head is down on the desk, and there's a pool of blood under it.
Oh, schnitz.
Shit.
Some really impressive special effects. I mean, you really think that's him? You don't remember what last time we came in and there were pools of blood and he jumped out and was all, gotcha. Hollywood magic.
I still don't want to touch it. Go check. Diego, lift his head up or something?
I mean, I'd not be surprised if you went and had, you know, somebody make a freaking fake head of his, you know, how he is with his own ego. Look, it's probably made out of latex. I'm going to walk over and grab it by the hair and lift it up.
Blood trickling down from a nasty cut in the back of his head and his scalp.
I'm going to grab Diego and pull him back real quick and quickly take off my shirt and put it around his head to sop up the blood. Call the police now.
I'll run into his office and call the cops.
What are you going to call him?
Pigs.
Diego, check him. Make sure he has a pulse.
How do you check? I don't know. Remember this one time I saw one of those medical shows on TVs and I just walk over and like try pushing my fingers into his neck and seeing if I can feel anything.
So you carefully work your finger underneath Ben's bloody, soppy shirt and seeking for the neck pulse. And then suddenly Eubanks rears up. He's got the bloody shirt over his face.
What? God damn it. Who? What?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm going to punch him.
And he goes face down back in the desk, unconscious.
You see that? Please tell me you saw that.
Okay, hold on. I'd kick off one of my shoes and pull my sock off and put it on the desk to sop up more of the blood and start working on my other shoe.
I don't think that's going to help much.
Just make sure he's okay. Stop the bleeding on the wound.
I really don't think you need to be taking your socks off.
Here, and I give him my other sock. Put that on the wound and hold it tight so it doesn't keep bleeding.
I'm not a doctor again, but these are kind of gross, and I don't think you're supposed to wrap gross things around open wounds. I feel like that's just a bad idea.
Fine, just put it on the desk and make sure the blood doesn't go everywhere.
Very carefully, like two-finger pinch and just drop it. How long has it been since you've washed these things, man? Jeez, that's like rank.
Those are my SeaQuest socks.
Why are they crunchy?
Why are they stuck together?
So, Rosa, you pick up the phone and you call up the police.
Yeah, this is LAPD. How can I help you?
Oh my God, something happened and we need the police and the paramedics to come right now.
Okay, all right. Slow down there, miss. Where are you at?
We're at Odeon Studios. My name is Rosa and we just walked in because we work here after school and Mr. Eubanks, the owner of the place, was face down in a pool of blood and we don't know what happened. Somebody needs to come help him, please.
Yes, ma'am. You said Rosa, right? What's your last name?
Garcia.
Can you hold just a minute?
Yeah. Jeez, this 911 operator.
All right, ma'am. We got somebody on the way over there. Some paramedics. Check for vital signs.
I don't know how.
Calm down. Let's just take a deep breath. Where are you, student at?
I'm so scared that I'm forgetting the name of the school.
Take a breath. I understand. I understand. This is very trying. You know, just stay with me on the line. Everything's going to be okay. Think about where you go to school every day.
Greyheart.
Greyheart Academy. Very good. See, this isn't so tough, right? Now, the paramedics are on their way. They'll be there in just a few minutes, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Are you alone?
No, my friends are here. Their names are Diego and Ben, and we work after school. Just for credit, and we are, you know, do we just clean up stuff?
I got that part, ma'am. Was there any reason? Did he take a fall? Can you tell how he got this wound?
I'm not sure. We walked in and he was sitting at the reception desk, but he was like face down on the desk.
All right. Well, the paramedics will assess the situation once they get there, okay? Now, what I'm going to need you to do is just, if you wouldn't mind, go out to the front and wait for the paramedics and flag them down when you see them, all right?
I can do that. Should I leave the line open or?
Put the receiver down. Make sure you and your friends move off and wait for the paramedics.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I'll just see.
And we'll have a patrol car there shortly. I've got a couple of detectives who want to probably talk to you.
Oh my God, there might be someone in the building. So, yeah, we're going to wait out front.
Do you hear anybody? Are you sure? You're okay?
I don't hear anyone. I'm going to get my friends out.
All right, ma'am. Now, this could be just a robbery. We don't know, but we'll find out shortly, okay?
Yeah, okay.
So just please wait outside and wait for the patrolman, all right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Go ahead and put it down. Love you.
I love you too. Bye.
Click.
Put the receiver down. Run out to the guys.
And Ben, what does Rosa see?
I've got my pants. I'm good.
He has no shoes, no socks. He's only wearing pants at this point.
Ben, what are you doing?
His clothing is piled around Eugene's head, sopping up blood.
We had to stop the blood.
We have to get out. There could still be someone in the building. Whoever it is, there could still be in the building. We've got to go. We've got to get outside.
What'd the police say?
They're coming and the paramedics are coming and they told us to wait out front.
I'm going to grab my shoes, but just carry them outside.
Come on, Taylor Lautner. We have to get outside.
Walking around without shoes and shirt.
It's just so hot.
Three of you go outside and wait. It is only a matter of minutes before you hear the siren. Ambulance pulls up. This is Odeon Studios, right?
Yeah, through the front door, just straight down the hallway.
Rosa?
Yeah, that's me.
Come with me, and you two stay out here.
Okay.
He leads you inside and begin immediately working on Eugene. A few minutes later, a police car pulls up behind the ambulance, and four gentlemen dressed in trench coats all get out. The one in the passenger side walks up very briskly. He looks like he's in his mid-30s, thin, pale, short blonde hair. You the gentleman who found the body then?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, son. Was that traumatic for you?
I guess.
What's your name, son?
My name's Ben.
Ben what?
Ben McKnight.
You, sir?
I'm Diego.
Yes, and your last name, sir?
Kennedy, like the president who was shot.
Tell me what happened, if you wouldn't mind.
We don't know what happened. We came in for work.
Where'd your clothes go, son?
There was so much blood, so I had to sop up the blood, so I didn't want it to go all over. But we walked in, and he just had his head down on the desk. I mean, he's done stuff like this before as a joke, but there was so much blood, and it looked so real.
Ah, a bit of the boy who cried wolf, then.
Yeah, it's movie production stuff, so he's got lots of props and all that fun stuff here.
All right, then. Now, my name is Detective Gordon. These are my associates, Detective Matthew, Detective Thomas, and Detective Sumner.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
You guys like a barbershop quartet or something?
Well, yes, we do like the occasional sing-along. Who doesn't, right?
As well as a drive-along.
Yes, a drive-along, a pram-a-lot.
What about a drive-by?
Drive-by? No, we leave that to the other, shall we say, questionable aspects of the L.A. society. Now, as you know, we are the police, so you'll have to answer any questions we have.
That's how law works.
Very good, son. Very good. You've had a brush with the law then in the past, huh?
Not a brush, no.
A comb, maybe.
Yeah.
What is your relationship with the deceased?
I don't think he's dead.
He isn't? Well, I understood that there would be a body.
There's a body, and he's still in it.
Well, okay, well, please tell me what you examined then.
Diego checked the wound on the back of his head.
There was a wound on the back of his head. Anything else? Did you see any footprints or any signs of breaking and entering?
No signs of breaking and entering. The door was open when we got here, like usual, though. So nothing out of place.
And when does Mr. Eubanks, when does he come in usually?
I'm not sure when he comes in, but we come in and work till 9 o'clock.
And he flips a couple pages. Ah, yes, you're also students of the Greyheart Academy, is that true?
Yes.
Okay, then, why don't you boys have a seat here on the curb, and I'm going to go in and talk to Miss Rosa.
Okay.
And he enters in along with the three other detectives right behind him.
With their hands on each other's hips.
And sashay.
Waddling like ducklings.
So, Rosa, you have been watching in rapt attention as the paramedics very carefully lift Ben's bloodied shirt off Eugene Eubanks. And as far as you know, this guy is dead. There's so much blood. But as soon as the paramedics sit him upright after examining the wound, he comes groggily to Rosa. Is that you?
Mr. Eubanks, Eugene.
It's great to see you. Oh my God, what's all this blood?
I don't know what happened. We came in and you were face down on the desk in a pool of blood and we were worried.
Who are these gentlemen?
They're the paramedics. I called the police and the paramedics.
You called the feds?
I don't know if they're feds.
Gentlemen, are you feds? If you are, you gotta tell me right now. And they both shake their head. I remember you said you weren't feds. That's, you heard it, Rosa, right?
Yeah. Do you know who might have done this, Mr. Eubanks?
I was here around 4 o'clock doing some work out here, and I thought I heard somebody, and then next thing, lights out. There's nothing to steal here. It's a bunch of junk. Oh, hey, gentlemen. And you see behind, in walk, four policemen all in trench coats. Are you Rosa?
Yeah, that's me.
I can see he is no longer deceased. That's very good. I'll write that down in my book here.
No longer okay.
Back to life. I'm going to let the paramedics do their thing. And Rosa, if I might have a word with you in the other room here.
Okay.
He takes you into Eugene's office while the paramedics, who probably also could have sworn that Eubanks was dead, are now putting some butterfly bandages over it to seal up the wound. Probably just a nasty skin cut.
Head wounds. They blade like stuck pig.
All right then, Rosa, you made the call, yes?
Yeah, I did.
You work here in some aspect.
Yeah, after school, I just do some like cleaning and sorting and stuff around the theater.
You and your friends out front found the victim.
We walked in and then we saw Mr. Eubanks was sitting at the desk with his face on the desk in a pool of blood.
And I did overhear that he said he might have been cockswaddled. That's the way I say it. Cockswaddled from behind, which is the worst kind of cockswaddling to get, I might add. Very painful.
Don't think you can say that word on the internet.
Cockswaddle.
You want to be cockswaddled from the front. Only from the front.
Always from the front. Much less painful.
Yes.
Do you know anyone who might wish him harm?
No. I don't know anyone. But no.
So that's a no then.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, you do know.
No.
No, you don't know.
Correct. No.
All right then. I'll put a soft no. Have you looked around to see if anything has been missing?
I don't see anything missing. We saw him and I ran straight here to call 911.
Thank you for that. Good Samaritan and all that. We'll put you down for perhaps a ribbon of sorts. Would that be all right with you?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Just a few more thousand questions here for you. And then the door bursts open and it is Eugene Eubanks on his feet. You guys are the feds, right? Well, no, I mean, we're the police, but close enough for the feds. So I'm going to have to ask you to leave. This is my premises of business, and I'm perfectly fine. You can see I'm walking around. Right, Rosa? I seem normal to you?
Yeah, very normal.
I want to make sure my floorboards are, things are intact here. We'll be in touch if we have anything else to, my memory's gone. Who am I? No, I'm Eugene Eubanks. Just call me UU. Everything's fine. Everything's fine here. She's my employee. She had nothing to do with this. I slipped and fell. Yeah, I slipped and fell. Right, Rosa?
Okay.
I do that. I get dizzy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for the trouble, officers. And, here's $50 for the policeman's ball. I understand you guys do the policeman's ball occasionally.
Wait, the police have balls?
I thought policemen didn't have balls.
Why, of course we do.
Mm.
Well, if there's, I guess, nothing else here, then here's my card, Rosa. If anything does come up, please call me directly, okay, all right?
Thanks.
Happy to help. Good day.
Yeah.
And he walks out with his three detectives, and they get into their car and speed away. Paramedics are packing up their gear and closing up the back of the ambulance. The one guy turns to Diego and says, he's got a nasty bruise on his cheek. You might want to, make sure he doesn't take a tumble or anything, because you might want to have him get some ice on that, because, man, whoever socked him did a really good job.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they socked him and then they, cut him in the back of the head. That's just terrible. It's so rude.
I'm sorry, but we got a 5-car pileup to get to, so we'll talk to you later. Goodbye. Love you.
Love you. Click.
And they speed away, leaving the three of you with Eugene, who is using Ben's shirt to mop up the rest of the blood into a waste can. Guys, I'm so sorry about this. Would you mind closing the door, Ben? I got to check something up on the second floor.
Do you need help?
No, I don't need help to check on the thing on the second floor beneath the floorboards, right? Wait, did I say that loud?
I heard we're going to the second floor. What's going on?
No, you guys chill out here. I'll be down in just a couple minutes. And we'll get things. I got some tasks for you. I feel fine, a little lightheaded, but my cheek, Jesus.
Oh yeah. The guy who cut you must have also hit you pretty good in the face.
Yeah, I don't really remember much. But I'll be back. Where the fuck is Harcourt, by the way?
We haven't seen him. We just got here and found you like this, so it's only been like 20 minutes.
This is like the second time he's ever been late, and if you guys wouldn't mind, just give him a call and see when he's coming.
Okay, I'll go lock the front door. Do you guys want to call him real quick?
Yeah.
As I lock the front door, it's going to strike my memory, and I'm going to immediately look down to my left and move that box where I put the book.
You don't see the book?
Let's lock the door and shake it off.
Who wants to give Harcourt a call?
I will.
I want to know more about Eubanks is doing. I think I'm going to sneak.
Well, let's go take a look at your stealth.
It's not that great.
Stealth is 20.
Yeah.
But hey, miracles can happen. Go ahead and give me a stealth roll then.
That is a fail at 39 over 20. I am definitely checking my luck. I'm going to spend it.
Okay. What does that take you down to?
12.
Yikes.
Damn, Daniel.
You sure you want to do that?
Yeah.
You creep up the stairs, and you are essentially trying to avoid those steps that you know creak loudly up to the second floor. You manage to do it right up until the top step. Your foot comes down on it, and you hear that of the beginning of the creaking noise, and you freeze in place. Eugene, who has been making quite a clatter in one of the side rooms that you guys hardly ever go into because it's just a storage room that has a bunch of wigs in it and doesn't really seem of any interest. And he stops suddenly, and you can almost picture him listening. And a full 60 seconds goes by. And then he resumes his clattering noise. You can hear the screech of nails being pulled out of wood. You time the rhythm of your step to match the screech of nail pulling, and it masks entirely your footstep as you attain the second floor. And you creep up to the doorway where Eugene is furiously on his hands and knees, pulling at floorboards, looking down into the gaping hole in the floor. You can hear him say under his breath, "God, thank God it's still here." And then he begins putting the boards back in place.
And I would like to try to sneak down before he gets down.
And you managed to do it because you spent the luck already. Diego, you call the dorm room and it just rings and rings. Harcourt does not pick up.
Any luck?
Nah, he's not answering. Maybe he's just sleepy.
What if he got here early? He's done that a lot. Maybe he's up finishing the fifth floor because he didn't get it done, remember? Should we run up and check?
Yeah, might as well.
Man, it is hot in here.
I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
I wasn't asking, but you are fine.
And Rosa enters the reception room at the base of the steps.
Where were you at?
Places.
Oh, how very nondescript of you. We're going to the fifth floor to see if Harcourt got here early and is maybe just trying to catch up considering he didn't do his shit last time we were here.
Remember how worried he was that he was going to get in trouble for not finishing cleaning that up?
Oh, yeah, I guess.
I don't know why he wouldn't have heard the commotion down here with all the people, though. I guess fifth floor, that's kind of ways up, so.
Yeah, maybe he found another movie that he's watching and, you know. It's...
Does that mean he went straight past Eugene?
Depending on when everything happened, he could have got here early, yeah.
Let's go look for Harcourt.
Just as you guys are getting ready to go back upstairs, Eugene comes back down. He's all sweaty. Where are you guys going? Did you get a hold of Harcourt?
He said he wasn't feeling too well.
He's not here. He's not going to get paid. You can tell him I said that, too.
I'll do that.
If this happens one more time, going to get the report out to the school. Maybe I get a new assistant over here, huh? Someone else is going to clean up.
So we're not allowed to be sick?
There's no sick time. You guys work it out.
Come on, Ben, it's the 70s.
Helicopter parents didn't exist.
That's true.
Bit of advice, don't eat the meatloaf in the cafeteria.
He doesn't go to our school.
Well, no, I won't. Thanks for the tip.
I was going to do that after work.
Yeah, I usually dumpster dive.
I was going to go find some discarded meatloaf.
All right, guys, well, I got to make some calls, and God, I got to get some ice in my face. It's starting to swell up a little bit.
That was so rude of them to not just hit you with the thing and cut you, but to punch.
Does it leave a mark?
Oh, it's not bad. You can hardly see anything there.
I think my eye's starting to close a little bit.
Use a little bit of ice on that and you should be fine.
Or some of that discarded meatloaf.
I'm gonna run around the corner block and get some ice, so I'll be back. All right, you guys need anything?
We'll start cleaning. We're okay. Thank you.
All right, yeah, I'll be back. Yeah, if you would mind just cleaning, do your usual stuff. I'm got this headache. Oh God. All right, I'll be back. Put some clothes on, but Jesus Christ,
you saved your life.
You want more clothes?
And he leaves.
Bye. Love you.
I love you more.
Click.
Click.
I'm going to run up real quick and check for Harcourt. Anybody want to go?
We might want to stop in one of the costume rooms on the way and maybe see if we can't find you another shirt.
You guys, I saw where Eugene went just now. He went to check under some floorboards in a room, and I kind of want to see what's under those floorboards.
Oh, I thought he was just going like a little cuckoo when he kept talking about floorboards.
I followed him, and I may or may not have spent a lot of luck.
You guys got luck?
Not anymore. Can we go check out the room?
I don't think that movie's out yet, but sure.
Why don't the two of you check that out? And I'll run up real quick and make sure that Harcourt's not on the fifth floor.
Sure, I can get you a shirt.
Why'd you tell Eubanks that Harcourt was sick?
It's at least plausible. If he's just not here because he's stupid, it's a lot worse.
We all know that's not him, though. He's the most responsible out of all of us.
But Eugene's not gonna care.
But what if he is here, and then now we gotta explain the lie?
You're like, oh, I called him, and he said he didn't want to lose the money, so he came in sick.
Okay, as long as we're all on the same page.
Yeah, but we're going to check out the room first.
Okay, I'm going to run to the fifth floor. You guys let me know what you find.
Ready, split, and we all start walking up the same staircase at the same time. This is awkward.
Ben races ahead of you guys. You can hear him just stomping up the stairs.
If you start taking your pants off, I'm leaving.
The two of you go up to the second floor, and Rosa, you recognize immediately the door that you had snuck up to is closed.
Try to open it.
It is locked.
Oh, man, if only somebody had some sweet lock-picking skills.
Right? I could try.
There is no try. Do or do not.
I mean, I'm just going to go get Ben, but...
The next time we see Ben, it'll be in his tighty-whities. I want to try it.
All right, what are you using?
I'm going to look on the floor and see if there's, like, a nail or anything.
Awesome. Give me a spot hidden.
Oh, I failed with an 80 over 33, and I am not going to spend that down.
I don't think you could.
Go back downstairs, head over to the reception desk, and open the second drawer from the top on the left-hand side and pull out a couple of paper clips.
Go ahead and give me a spot hidden.
I needed a 59. I rolled a 55. That is a success.
You pick up the paper clips that you know are there in the desk. Go back up to the second floor where Rosa is.
Right, I'm still looking for a nail.
Like Velma lost her glasses. Where is it?
You extend your hand to give her the paperclip, and it falls out of your hand onto the ground. And when you reach down to pick it up, in the dust, a footprint that looks like it belongs to a size 13 shoe. And as a matter of fact, you see two sets of footprints leading up.
Hey, Rosa.
Yeah?
Stop what you... I found a footprint. A footprint. It's, you see this?
Oh, wow. Mr. Eubanks doesn't have feet that size. And I don't think Ben has shoes that size either.
He's not wearing any shoes anyway.
Well,
so.
Right. Does Harcourt have?
No, he's not that big.
You gonna follow him?
That's what I was gonna do. Oh, by the way, here you go. I'm gonna hand her the paperclip.
I'm a little spooked, so I'm going to stay with Diego right now.
Time to follow the footprints through the dust.
All right. Who's got the best track?
40.
You.
Go for it, Diego.
I needed a 40 and I rolled a 70, so that's a no.
But you do clearly see the footprints going up to the fourth floor. You get that far. And then the dust, it has been sort of muddled here. You can see Ben's in particular. He must have been really sprinting because he just like got rid of a bunch of dust and smeared, and you can't tell where they went beyond this.
I can see my toes spread wide on every landing. Poof.
It's like Jurassic Park. So yeah, on the fourth floor, you guys lose the scent.
Wait, scent? Diego? Why are you smelling those footprints?
Such a lovely bouquet.
We can't see them go into a room or anything, right?
No.
They came up here. And I lost it.
We could try the doors along this hallway.
You want the left or the right?
I'll take the left.
All right. I got the right. And I'm going to head over to the first door on the right side of the hallway and try the knob.
Ben reaches the top floor and it appears to be empty, Ben.
Hey, Harcourt, you up here?
No answer.
Answer me. I'm going to fumble for a light switch.
Sure. Yeah, you flip on the lights and nobody here.
Disappointed. I'm going to turn the switch back off.
Your hand stops. Just before you flip it off, because you see in the corner a box that's overturned. And there are some empty movie reels spilled onto the floor.
Maybe that's where he found the reel that we watched. I'm going to head over, turn the box over to put everything back in.
Appears to be just a box full of empty movie reels. There is no film on them. They're completely empty. And that's when you notice, just looking around the room, that it looks like there's another bookcase over in the far corner that has moved slightly.
Yeah, I'm going to head over to that and kind of inspect the floor where it had been moved.
You didn't notice it before, but the bottom of the bookshelf, books have been pulled out and then put back in a different order, sometimes not even upright. Seems like somebody was looking for something.
Look along the side of the bookcase and see if I can see if there's anything behind it.
There is actually a loose board on one wall. It appears to be like a little cubby hole, and you're pretty sure that's kind of where Harcourt found the original film.
Push the bookshelf just enough so I can see if the film got put back in there.
So you move the bookcase, pull the board away from the opening completely, and inside you see a small box that has D.E. on it, written in black marker. And you assume this probably means Dickie Evans. The box is empty.
I'm going to grab the box. I'll go to where the projector is to see if maybe the film was set down back down up there and you just didn't put it back yet. Or
no, it's completely empty.
Put the box back behind the board. Put the board back in place and push the bookshelf back to where it should go. And I'm going to examine the books on the bottom just to see if anything else seems out of place. I pull a couple out and look behind it.
Looks as if someone had pulled it out to see if there was anything hidden there and put it back in a random order.
Well, I'm going to head back down and try to meet up with the other two and let them know I did not find Harcourt. And now I'm getting really worried about him.
So you descend down to the fourth floor where you hear and see Rosa and Diego going door to door, just finishing up their inspection of the rooms. And they come up empty. There's nothing in the rooms of any interest.
Yeah, any luck finding Harcourt, guys?
No.
No. He wasn't under the floorboards.
We do need your help. The room that Mr. Eubanks went into, that Rosa saw him looking at the floorboards, the door is locked. We're wondering if you could do your thing.
I could, but he's probably going to be back any minute now. I mean, he just ran next door to the party store.
Great, then let's not waste time.
We got to do it really fast.
Okay, don't we want to wait till he actually goes home for the night and we're here by ourselves like we do every night when we work? Wouldn't that be safer?
Probably.
I'm getting real worried about Harcourt, guys. Slowly unzip my pants. It's just, I'm so hot. I'm so overheated. I don't know what's happening.
You're not that good looking. Put them back on, champ.
You're not hypothermic. You're not at the stage where you want to take off all your clothes.
And you hear the front door slam.
Now he's back, so now we have to go down.
Diego, you want to hit him again?
Wait, Diego, you hit him?
No, I did nothing of the sort. You have no proof.
Is that where that bruise came from?
No, it was from the guy that with the left the head wound.
You need to hit him on the other cheek. So he has a matching bruise, so he matches. He's symmetrical.
Hey, what are you guys doing up there? Harcourt, you find Harcourt?
No, just checking if he got his stuff done.
Come on down here. I got a list of stuff for you.
Okay.
And we waddle down like penguins.
Jesus, Ben. What? Okay, look. There's an old army uniform on the backside of my door there. Put that on, would you?
Okay. If I have to.
You're not going to wander around here naked. Come on. Get with the program.
I have pants on.
You guys know this kid? Does he always act this weird?
Yeah, that's Taylor Hotner.
All right, I'll go in his office and shut the door, take my pants off and put all of the clothes on.
Just as long as you put some shoes on, because you're literally skeeving me out walking around in a place where I'm looking for nails on the floor.
Well, my toenails are on the floor, if that helps.
So Ben gets dressed, and the three of you are given a very hefty set of instructions of what to do tonight, because you're going to be picking up some slack from Harcourt not being here. You guys are essentially busy, busy, busy until 9 o'clock. Unfortunately, Eugene sticks around the entire time. He's holding a big bag of ice to his face, trying to get the swelling to go down, and actually it is starting to go down. He's making phone calls and keeping a special eagle eye on all of you. Even when you're up on some of the other floors, he appears noiselessly to kind of check in on your progress. You've never seen him so attentive, but you know, after someone being cockswaddled.
From behind, too.
Ouch.
Then maybe he's just, you know, being exceptionally alert. He actually sees you out at the end of the shift and locks the door behind you.
Okay.
And the three of you are standing outside in the still warm, for Ben, really warm, April evening, a little after 9 o'clock.
We weren't able to look at the thing, guys.
Nah, we'll get it next time.
Yeah, it's been there a long time. How many times have he's been talking about floorboards?
He's always talking about floorboards. That man has a floorboard fetish.
It's better than having something like a screen door fetish. That'd just be weird.
Oh, yeah.
When I went to the fifth floor looking for Harcourt, I found a little cubby, hidden cubby behind a bookshelf up there.
Were there floorboards in it?
There were floorboards in there, yes, but I left those. I just wanted the cardboard box that had DE written on it. I think that's where Harcourt found the film, but it wasn't in there, just empty. So where'd the film go?
I guess let's go back and look for Harcourt. We haven't seen him and we haven't heard from him. And
that's when Cece pulls up.
Not that worried. Bye.
Well, we were going to go find Harcourt.
Hey, thought you might need a ride.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
We got time for a drink? Or?
Yeah, let's do it.
Of Coke, guys. Coke.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Sure thing. Not Rosé.
Well, there could be Rosé involved.
Hop on, Rosé.
Okay, Kat. Yeah, those guys can get home.
Yeah, they'll figure things out. They're big boys, right, boys?
Just the two of us. We can ride on a mini bike. Just the two of us.
You're not sitting behind me unless you put a shirt on. I'm not dealing with that.
He's dressed in this old army.
Thank God.
It's very, very itchy, but Diego likes it.
You like the military look?
Not really.
Diego's like, oh my God, I want to punch you.
Your mom and dad are in the military?
My mom is too.
It's all in the family.
We are family.
Cece takes Rosa out somewhere, and the two of them disappear into the night. So Ben and Diego, are you guys going to buddy up?
You want to ride on the mini bike or are you going to catch a bus?
It's too late. I missed the bus. If you don't mind giving me a ride, that'd be great.
Yeah, hop on. I can get you back.
So where does Harcourt go other than school and here? Does he have any other places he hangs out?
Not that I know of.
All right, well, let's get back and hopefully he's just, like you said, maybe he is sick and he's just sleeping it off.
All right, so you guys hit the road, get back to the dorms.
I'm going to head back to the room.
Yeah, I'm going to follow him.
Harcourt is there, seated at the desk, apparently doing some homework.
Hey, buddy, you missed work today.
Yeah, so I missed work, so what?
Yeah, Mr. Eubanks said if you do it again, you're fired.
Wow, I'm really scared.
You okay?
I'm fine. Can you guys get out of here? I'm trying to do some work. I got a test tomorrow.
What's going on? This isn't like you.
I study hard. This is like me.
But you've never missed work.
How long has it been since you've had a ho-ho?
Dude, enough of the ho-hos, okay? We get it. You like sugar.
Okay, something's going on. When you decide to talk about it, let us know.
Yeah, okay. That'd be never. And he puts on some headphones, listens to some music, cranks up the volume.
As soon as he turns around, I'm going to cock my arm back and start walking up behind him.
And what are you going to do to the back of his head from behind?
Cockswaddle him.
From the back.
We need a t-shirt that says cockswaddle me from behind.
I don't think we can wear that.
I don't think so either, but I'm going to do it.
Justin, are you there?
It's me, cockswaddle.
I'm going to give Diego the look like, what the fuck is wrong with this kid? I'm like, I'm going back to my room. Let me know if anything changes. Good luck. Good night. I love you. Click.
Click. And then I'm going to shut the door.
He didn't even say he loves me back. I don't know what to make of this.
Going to open the door. I know.
It is now Thursday.
Again?
Oh, God. It's Groundhog Day. We're living the same day over.
You guys attend classes. You have not seen Harcourt since lunch. He was sitting off by himself. Apparently, nose buried in a book. Eating robotically and not paying anybody any attention.
I'm at lunch with these guys, and Cece probably sits with us. Hey, you guys, what's wrong with Harcourt?
Fuck if I know.
Did you guys ask him about the thing?
No, he was being a bit edgy.
He was edging? Why didn't you help?
Can you help?
Okay, well, I mean, Diego, I think you gotta look through his stuff.
I'm not gonna look through his stuff if he's been edging. That's
Well, yeah. But I mean, like to look for the thing.
And Diego points with his thumb back to where he saw Harcourt and the table is now empty.
Damn.
You guys, where did he go? Did anyone see him leave?
Maybe he went back to the room?
I guess let's just see if he shows up for work tonight.
I think that's all we can do. I mean, if he's going through something, we can't help him unless he lets us know. We tried last night and he shut us
down.
But
you say you tried to give him a ho-ho and he wouldn't even take it?
Yeah.
I have never known Harcourt to turn down a ho-ho.
I'm going to go looking for him. You guys can do what you want.
I'll tag along.
Cece, do you want to come with us?
I really appreciate all the cool drama you got going on right here, but I really have no interest. And, hun, I got to get to class, so I'll catch you later tonight, maybe?
All right. Bye.
And she leans down and waits for a little peck.
I'll give you one of those little European kisses.
And then she races off.
First place we should probably check is the room. Maybe he just went back there to do some more studying.
Let's keep our heads on a swivel. Maybe he's on campus somewhere.
So I'm going to walk him back to the dorm room.
Everything is as if you left it this morning. All the beds are made. Everything's picked up and he's nowhere to be found.
Check his desk real quick, dude, just to see if maybe we can see what he's working on. Maybe he's stressing on something.
Going to go over to his desk and start opening drawers and rifling through everything to see if there's any kind of clues.
Give me a spot hidden.
I needed a 59. I rolled a 69, which is a failure.
Yeah, so everything appears to be normal. You don't see anything out of the ordinary.
I mean, it just looks like school stuff in here.
I'm going to check the closet real quick, see if he's got that film in here. It'd be so crazy if he brought it home from work.
You open it, Hargwart's in the closet.
Ben, as you're looking through the closet and you're thinking about that film reel and how it'd be so weird if it just showed up here, a chill goes through you. Because you didn't really sleep well last night. Everything was so hot. You kept throwing off your covers and stripped down completely nude to sleep with the window open. Everything just felt just so warm. And you were so happy to not have a roommate to have to answer to and explain why you were feeling
so. I could helicopter for hours.
You tried your best to sleep, but you kept awakening. It almost seemed like every hour upon the hour, your alarm clock just seemed to be advancing so slowly. The moment you closed your eyes, you would see those burning symbols in the darkness. And it was almost like you were trying to figure out a puzzle of some sort, putting these things together to start to form words. And that's when you realize that, yeah, that is the key. That it wouldn't make any sense until you could figure out the order in which to put these symbols. That meaning would arrive.
Puzzle montage.
Cue the music.
And I'm going to have to ask you to add one more point to each of those skills. Okay, so we're going up to 22 on charm. Fast talk is going up to 7. Taking occult up to 7 as well. We're taking persuade up to 33. Psychology goes to 12. And sleight of hand goes up to 62. Hypnosis is going up to 5. And you will suffer one more point of sanity damage. So you're down to 37. And permanent goes down to 38. And I'm going to need you to roll D100, please.
69. Nice. I just won the internet. Bam, bam, bam,
bam. Lupine and Diego, please remove your headsets while I inform Ben of his situation. So this time you are going to have an abnormal hatred of everything with an obsession of hating some subject or group. Ben's search of the closet comes up empty, but you do notice that he appears to have that same glazed look in his eye again.
Honey glazed?
Oh boy, I'm going to walk up and slap him again.
Ben, what's wrong?
What do you mean what's wrong? He just hit me for no reason.
You looked in the closet and now you look like you've seen a ghost or something.
No, it's just a stupid closet. Closets, they're stupid. They make no sense. Just put your clothes out so you can see all of them at once.
Are you speaking words?
Yeah, that was a full sentence, I believe.
We have our clothes on. You're the one without your clothes on.
What are you talking about? I'm fully clothed.
You have a presentation in 5 minutes in front of the whole school, and you're in just your underwear.
Anyway, anything from Harcourt? And don't hit me again.
No, nothing in his desk. I mean, he might be in the library. I know he spends a lot of time over there.
Well, let's go to the library. Another useless place.
Ben, what's wrong?
Well, I just got hit in the face.
Rose, are we taking crazy pills? I feel like we're taking crazy pills.
What would happen if I hit you in the face? Would you be all calm and be like, oh, hey, how's it going, guys?
Okay, fine.
Yeah, it's not fun. I'm going to storm out towards the library.
Who cock-swaddled him?
You did in the face.
You did.
Oh, you're right.
In the front.
In the front, which is better, but not great.
I'm going to share a look with Diego and then like leave the room after Ben.
So, Ben, you get to the library. Rose is shortly behind you.
Are you going to open the door?
Why don't you open the door?
I mean, you're in front.
I don't want to touch it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to walk past both of them and just walk into the library.
I'm going to follow Diego into the library, give Ben a look. But I guess I'll hold the door for him.
I'm going to slip through without touching the door.
If I had to take a guess, he might be at one of the study tables.
That sounds reasonable.
So you go over to one of the study tables and there's Lindsay. Oh, hey, guys. Hey, Ben. How's it going?
Hey, you seen Harcourt around here lately? He's been acting a little weird, and we're kind of worried.
Weird? Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, he's been weird forever.
No, like, not like his normal weird, but more like a weird weird, you know?
Okay, yeah, I get it. Weird weird, yep.
Like a not Harcourt weird.
Okay, well, that's strange. Did you try the ho-ho trick?
Yeah, he said no. He turned down a ho-ho and yelled at me for liking sugar too much.
Dude, that is so weird.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to go over here and see if he's over by the books.
Ben walks away angrily, and Lindsay has a perplexed look on her face. Guys, what the hell is going on with Ben?
He's acting weird. I don't know. I don't think it's you.
Oh, no, definitely not you. It's him.
Well, maybe he just needs some space. He has been acting really squirrely lately every time I try to get him to nail him down for a date or something.
Squirrely, you say?
I was shitting on someone's desk.
Sorry, guys. I haven't seen Harcourt, so good luck, I guess, but I gotta get to class.
Okay.
And she leaves.
I turn to Diego. What a bitch.
You should do what I do and just punch. That solves a lot of problems.
I know, but it causes a lot of problems, too.
Yeah, it does it, though.
I know, got a cock bottle from the back. Then they don't see it coming.
Well, I'll keep an eye out for him, but I gotta get going to class.
I'll let you know if I see him around.
I mean, I'm gonna be in the art building, so maybe I'll catch him in the hallway.
Okay.
The three of you go off to your classes, and Diego, there's no sign of Harcourt, even in the usual spots where you might expect to run into him in the art department. And 4 o'clock rolls around.
I have a splitting headache, so I'm going to go back to my room and drink a tall glass of cold water and just try to close my eyes and suppress this pain that's right behind my forehead and between my eyes.
Would it help if I hit you?
Yep!
I'm not actually talking to Diego. I'm just going to hop on his bike.
Diego comes out of the dorm room and sees Rosa just sitting on the back of the mini bike.
I'm going to finish chugging the can of soda that I have in my hand, crush the can and toss it over my shoulder into a trash bin. I'm not even going to look to see if it made it or not.
And are you guys heading off to Yep Storage?
Yep.
Yep.
Traffic, for some odd reason, is very light today. And you make it to a large structure that looks like it's an indoor storage facility. So these storage lots are inside this big warehouse that has seen better days. And you're somewhat surprised that it's even still in business given the overall dilapidated look of the sprawling one-story structure with peeling paint, a rusted entrance door, and broken out picture window closed off with duct tape cardboard. And just inside is a chest-high counter that has been covered with cheap wood paneling. Set on top is a muscular dystrophy collection jar and pamphlets describing Yep Storage's climate control options. Behind the counter is a squat, muscular man wearing a black t-shirt and matching black hat, both bearing the business logo, doing a crossword puzzle and smoking an imported cigar that looks like it's been chewed by a slobbery dog. You recognize him from television commercials and flyers tacked to telephone poles all around town. This is the one, the only, Little Davy, owner and proprietor of Yip Storage.
Little Davy.
Hey, kids, you want my autograph?
Hi. Our grandpa had a storage unit, and he doesn't really remember it that well anymore, so we're just going to clean out.
I gotcha. All right, well, if you got the key, I can let you in back.
He doesn't remember where the key is. He lost it.
Oh, well, that's not good.
Yeah, it's number 5.
Number 5. Okay, let me look that up here. He pulls out a file cabinet, pulls out a couple folders, starts flipping through them. You're Sydney Schlesinger's grandkids?
Yeah.
Kids, I hate to break it to you, but looks like rent has been paid on that for a year.
Did you sell it?
Things move a little bit slowly here at Yip Storage. I just haven't got around to it yet.
How much?
Now you're talking my language.
I got some ho-hos. Does that count for anything?
No, I'm diabetic, so that doesn't count for anything.
I am so sorry.
You know, you're the grandkids, right? Wink.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's something we can work out here.
What are you thinking?
Havsies?
You mean you want like half of what is in the unit?
Well, yeah. I mean, technically, I could just go back there and bust open the lock and put my own lock on, and it would be my unit, and I could take the whole thing, but you know, I'm a nice guy, and you kids look like you're on the up and up, and let's just say the unit never existed.
I'm gonna just take my fellow grandchild over here, and we're gonna discuss this really quick in the corner, okay? We'll just right over here.
You kids take your time.
Walk her over to the corner. I'm gonna look back to make sure he's watching, and then I'm going to like pull her in close, and I'm gonna start making like exaggerated gestures and whispering just enough of like little bits of words for him that I know he's like listening in.
I will play along.
All right, so what is the intention?
I'm trying to convince him that maybe we have something else going on to see if he'll cut us a better deal.
Okay, so that sounds like what type of skill?
I was hoping I'd be fast talking him into giving us a better deal.
Well, that's up to you. You can fast talk.
I needed a 54. I rolled a 42. That is some successful fast talking.
All right, what'd you kids decide? 50-50? Come on.
It's a nice thought, but
faster.
You know, it's a really nice thought, but I really think we can do something better. If you want to talk about it later, if you want to come back, I'm going to Lily now.
Yep. I'm closing up here shortly. I'll tell you what, 60-40. I'll take 40. We'll call it a day. Whatever's in there. I have no idea what's in there. I assume you do, so it must be worth something.
Oh, it's worth something, all right.
What do you say?
I'm going to reach my hand out. All right. You got yourself a deal.
And he shakes your hand. Follow me, Kais. And he leads you back to storage number 5, which is very unremarkable because it is exactly the same as every other unit, where it's just a roll-up door secured with an industrial padlock. And he pulls from his back pocket a pair of bolt cutters, and he snips the lock, throws it off, it clatters on the ground, and he rolls up the unit. Inside, an unpleasant smell wafts outward like bad breath, redolent of dust, rotting cardboard, and withered rodent corpses. The 10 by 15 foot space is only half full, boxes upon boxes stacked shoulder high on either side with a wide aisle down the middle. Oh, man. What is this, paperwork?
Maybe.
I said something. Does that place have a light?
It does have a switch on the side, and there is a bulb in the middle of this 10 by 15 way up high that just sort of flickers in and out. Clearly has been there since the beginning of time and is on its last legs.
Come on.
This place stinks. I could just smell it. It's going to be worth nothing.
One man's trash, and I'm going to start walking in.
And he does too, hands on hips. So from here, we're going to need library use, and you both can roll.
I needed a 27. I rolled a 55.
I got a hard success. 11 under 50.
The two of you begin sorting through the boxes. Little Davy is just sort of watching you from the entrance, chewing on that cigar. It takes a few minutes, but Rosa does find a box that is simply labeled 9, written in black marker on it.
I am going to try to show it to Diego without alerting this dude.
Kind of dark in here because it's just the flickering light. And yeah, you're able to like tap him and get his attention. He sees the box as well.
So is it just like a paper box?
It's a cardboard box, yeah.
Once he's standing next to me, I'm going to open it up.
And inside you can see it's piles upon piles of manila folders. There are a bunch of typed documents inside.
I guess this is what we're looking for. Do you want to look around some more to make this guy think that there's something else in here?
And we're just going to start opening random boxes and seeing what's inside.
Clearly, this is just a place where things were left to be discarded from Dickie Evans. Whatever just didn't get sold off during the consolidation of his business. None of the other stuff appears to be have much of interest in it.
No film reels or anything?
No film reels, actually. No, appears to be mostly just paperwork.
No, like, scripts or anything?
Probably a bunch of unproduced scripts, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Might as well take another box out, at least, just to throw them off.
Diego grabs a box of his own. As you put the top back on your box, Rosa, one of the manila envelopes slips off and opens up onto the ground. And you see a stack of papers that are paperclipped together. And it looks like it's a cast list of Seance 9.
Oh.
With a handwritten note.
I'm going to look closer at that.
I'm going to give you a handout.
What is this, socialism? You can't just give people things. You're ruining America.
Players. Maude Mitchum as Nancy, who is the young woman. Hans Gruber as Henry, which is the man of mystery. Bethia Friedman as Madam Erskine, who's the medium. Martin Horner as John, who is the handsome man. Handwritten note attached, February 29th. 1972. M.M. back in town. Alias L.D. set up meet and greet. Fast track A-list. The stars are right. D.E.
And that's when you hear the door to the office down the hallway open up. And heavy footsteps begin walking your way. This has been Tape 5 of K17 Seance 9.
Today's episode was brought to you in part by our generous fans and supporters on patreon.com/lovecrafttapes. So thanks to Jordy Rose, Atulia, Barry Robinson, Brownie Davis, Chris Parker, Elizabeth Grieve, James Mayo, John Scarcella, The Frilled Shark, Kyle Sherman, Huge Pie, Amanda Power, Jefferson Bell, Eric Zane, Olda, Polkert, Mitch L., Ripley Iwin, Luke Corbin, Eric Phillips, Malamber 57, Snow, Dom Driver, Andrew Petty, Horse Draper, Frank Delventhal, Prophet of Woe, David Winterman, Boston Harbor Whore, Liz Moonberry, Stephen Gregory, Robert Jameson, Chainsaw Unicorn, Shelley DM, Captain Vashton, Peter VDB, James Brown, Flix Capacitator, Ineptus Astartus, Matthew, Ruined Ashes, Shane Stoley, Phoenix Black, Jay Clark, Oddity, JR, Brindle Stubbs, AE Jonesy, LMF10, Marty Dixon, Ba Tran, Rolling Boxcars, Rich Pogue, Bifford, Jeffrey Young, Holden Omans, Justin Levesque, Nicholas Hutto, Phil Campbell, John Konopasek, Kevin G., Mick Cope, Robert Lamb, Jehovah's Thickness, Tomas, Robert Lutzner, Benjamin King, Sert, Wizard of Isinglass, Steve L., Don't Forget Cherry, Matt's Sister, Literally, Cobdar Tchai, Smegmas Grundlegunj, Jeff Howie, Huku Roll, Sarah Wiley, David Agate, and Nick Carr. Thank you guys. Woo! Appreciate all that. Want to drop us a letter from beyond? Please visit lovecrafttapes.com anytime to fill out our contact form. And guys, we do have a couple letters.
I love letters.
From Michael Roy. Sweet baby Jesus, I just found your podcast a couple weeks ago and literally just finished case 6. Yeah, I'm more than 5 years late, but I'm trying to catch up. I get somewhere in the area of 8 to 10 main episodes per day. But more to the point, holy shit, K6 ends amazingly. I love it. Prior to this, I wasn't really sticking around for the story. It was mostly just the humor. But these last few episodes, amazing. I wasn't going to message you until I caught up, but I had to tell you what an excellent job you did 5 freaking years ago. I am excited to see where the game goes from here, starting K7 tomorrow. And I'm looking forward to it more than I expected to. Keep up the amazing work.
Thank you, man. That's awesome.
We appreciate that.
From Driver Flows. Hi, guys. Been listening for about 2 weeks now and love the show. I'm well into case 6 and just heard Jeremy recommend the book House of Leaves. The description made me think of Douglas Copeland's J-Pod as well as J.J. Abrams' S. J-Pod is hilarious and absurd, full of weird entries into the story as well as fourth wall breaks, all within an existential storyline which Copeland is known for. I haven't read it yet, but it's presented as a book found in a library which has been read and adapted by others. There's a ton of extra material like postcards, tickets, notes, maps, scribblings in the margins. Anyway, keep up the great work.
Nice.
Appreciate that. And I did add J.J. Abrams S into my wish list on Amazon because it sounds perfectly up my alley.
Nice.
Subscribe to our live streams at twitch.tv/lovecrafttapes or youtube.com/lovecrafttapes. Thank you for listening to the Lovecraft Tapes. If you like what you heard, please consider writing a review on the podcast platform of your choice. You can chat with me in real time at discord.lovecrafttapes.com.
And if anybody knows where I can hide, that's really great information to have right now. Just let me know at The Real Weird Kid on both Blue Sky and Mastodon. I'm in both places because I'm just that great.
And if someone wants to help me learn some lockpicking, because it's actually not that good... Leave me a note at my linktree.com/lupinevendetta, all one word. You could help me with all kinds of things, but also lockpicking.
With a splitting headache, I need someone to send me as soon as they can new Morphan to get rid of it, okay? Probably 2 tabs will be fine. I don't want to overdo it. And you can get that to me by screaming, "I have it here!" And I will come and get it.
Until next time, roll for the police.
Not cockswaddling.
Dang it, should have went cockswaddling.
Shouldn't we all?
The Lovecraft Tapes podcast is copyright 2024. For more information and sponsorship opportunities, please send email to podcast@thelovecrafttapes.com. Support the Lovecraft Tapes podcast and get access to exclusive content and rewards at patreon.com/lovecrafttapes.